This is the GGC Life podcast.
We're talking about the spirit-filled life, and it means that every believer can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures. You feel free to write down the scriptures so you can check these words yourself and study. Well, the good thing about writing down the scriptures, you can go home and read those scriptures, meditate on those scriptures, get it into your spirit, and actually believe what the Bible says. Because that's what the whole point about what we're doing here is to believe what God's word says about us. Isn't that true? Hearing from God and actually believing it. It's one thing hearing it, and sometimes you go, yeah, I believed that in 1987. You know? So you had a one-off encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit, but you've never ongoingly be filled. Like the Bible says, we should ongoingly be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Do not be drunk with wine, Paul said, but be being filled. Literally, that's what it means. It's continual tense. Be being filled. And just so you know, I mean, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the promise of the Father. So I'm gonna share the word of God, but we're not going to see the way you get taught wrong. When we get taught wrong things, we usually do that by taking a scripture and isolating it and taking the text out of its context. So we need to understand our whole Bible and the theme of the heart of God and the heart of the Father, His purpose in sending His Son Jesus, and understanding the whole reason why God the Father sent Jesus. And yeah, we understand Adam and Eve. We understand the separation that took place, that in Adam, all died. Adam disobeyed God and he spiritually died. That means when he spiritually died, he was still physically alive. He didn't have the Spirit of God in him anymore. He lost the presence of God, didn't he? That's the separation. So what did Jesus come to do? The main thing Jesus came to do is to cleanse us, to wash us, cleanse this temple so that God can make his home in us again. God could fill us with his Spirit once again. Because that's how he originally made Adam and Eve. And God wants to make his home in us. He moved from the Holy of Holies, as we know. The veil was torn from top to bottom. That means God himself tore it. And that was the way into the very Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt in the Old Testament. Well, that veil has been torn apart because our sins have been totally paid for. The veil is the flesh, and it's been you have been paid for. Completely. So your temple is cleansed so the Holy Spirit can come. I'm just giving you a quick summary, but the Bible gives all these teachings over and over and again, over and again. When Jesus is referring to the promise of the Father, right, he says, I'm going to go so that the promise of the Father could come. He referred to the Holy Spirit as the promise of the Father a lot. And so if the Father promised it, he must have promised it in the Old Testament, right? That's God's not going to... Who did he promise it to? He promised it to his people. So you find it in Joel chapter 2. It's a number of scriptures, but I'm just going to give you a couple. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. The prophet writes what God says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I, God himself, will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Everyone say all flesh.
All flesh.
That this is a promise of the Holy Spirit to come. That in the last days, he'll pour out his Spirit on everyone. There's already a doctrinal shift in people's mindset. Holy Spirit's for everybody. Because some people go, oh, but God gives the Holy Spirit to only some. A few chosen. Or the apostles needed the Holy Spirit, but we don't need the Holy Spirit. That's already correcting wrong teaching when you read the Bible. And it says, I love this, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon handmaidens. In those days, I'll pour out my Spirit. In other words, prejudice. Yeah, no, there's no, another word I'm thinking of. No discrimination on status. That's it. Right, no discrimination on status, whether you're old, young, man, woman, young, maiden, servants, slaves. Hang on, they're the lowest of the employment industry. Even on them, because in those days slaves were real slaves, and so even on them, God's saying all people, all flesh, everyone. Okay, Ezekiel, I love this promise particularly, chapter 11, verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit. There you go, within you. And I will take the stony heart out of his flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. That's prophesying the born-again experience. Because we're spiritually dead, takes away the stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh, so that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. That's a promise of the him giving us a spirit, a new spirit, right? Luke 24, verse 49. Let's have a quick look at that. Luke 24. Jesus dies, pays a penalty for us. To give us context, he rose from the dead, okay? He paid complete price for us, redeemed mankind completely. And then he, after he gone to the Father, poured out his blood at the altar, because Hebrews tells us he did that. He went to the actual throne of God in the mercy seat and poured out his blood. And then he gets glorified. But then he always said, I have to go to my Father and then I'll send the Holy Spirit. He kept saying that. And the Bible talks about he had to go to the Father. And then when he goes to the Father, why? Because he goes in our place. Then he sends the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was not poured out until Jesus paid the price in full and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he says here in verse 49, well, let's pick it up really quickly in verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. I'm gonna go to the Father and I send you the promise of my Father. In Acts, actually pick up John 14 really quickly. John 14. Just want to show you that Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit a lot all throughout his time here on earth with the disciples. Not just to the apostles, but he was talking to the disciples. He was talking to his followers. Let's look at John 14. I'm not there yet. Verse 17. All right. Verse 17 says, verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Now, he's referring to the helper. Holy Spirit's a helper. It's one of his job descriptions, so to speak. That the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you. The Holy Spirit abides with you and will be in you. So he's given us an example that he's right with you right now, but he's going to be in you, right? That's into the future. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Basically, many times he says, I'm going to die and you guys will grieve and like, I'm going to go and you're going to grieve. You'll see me no more, but then you'll see me again because he's resurrection, and then I'll pour out the Spirit. So he says that a lot. I love this one too, John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. This just blows our mind. If you actually believe the Bible, it'll blow your mind, right? Listen to this. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage, your benefit, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world concerning of sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. So he's given us again the job description of the Holy Spirit. But I love this. Let's take this. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. He's going to die and go away and sit at the right hand of the Father. And you'll see him no more, right? Because if I don't go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. That's a whole picture. If I go away, go die, pay the price, go to the right hand of the Father. And because someone has paid the price in our place, the Holy Spirit now could come and make his home in us. That happened in the book of Acts chapter 2, right? And so, but listen to this. Imagine walking with Jesus for 3 years, watching him do miracles and signs and wonders and open up blind eyes and stopping a funeral and giving a widowed mother her grown-up son back. Imagine seeing deaf ears open. Imagine seeing cripples walk. Imagine seeing lepers, you know, healed and their limbs grow back. Imagine seeing, walking with Jesus. And then Jesus says, it's better for you that I go. I mean, I don't know about you. I think, no way, Lord. It's better that you're with us right now. In other words, he's basically saying Holy Spirit in you is better than Jesus with you in the natural. That's what he's saying. We don't have that much faith in the Holy Spirit. We should have, because he's the Spirit of truth and he leads us and guides us into all truth if you commune with him, speak with him, hang out with him, spend time with him. He will lead you and guide you to all truth. Even Jesus, in the natural, when he was with the disciples, he said it himself. It's in the Bible. I've got so many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear it. So he was limited in revealing truth to the disciples because they couldn't handle it. Not because he couldn't do it. That even if he did say it, they wouldn't understand. There were times when he says, I'm going to die, da-da-da. They didn't understand what he was going to say. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. What's he talking about now? The Bible says when he did die and come back to life, they remembered all the scriptures. So Jesus was purposely putting seed in and knowing 3 years' time you'll get it. Isn't that crazy? But the Holy Spirit, I just want to help us see God's faith in himself, because Holy Spirit's God. God's faith that when the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Holy Spirit in you can teach you and guide you into all things better than if Jesus was physically with you. It does blow your mind, doesn't it? Seriously. I can hear your minds tick over. Let's believe it. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. I mean, obviously, there's also the truth of if he didn't go away, he wouldn't die for our sins. He has to die for our sins. Our spirit man that's dead gets resurrected and is alive. And so when Jesus did come back, I love this about Jesus. This is in the room when he went to the disciples and he's talking to them after he was resurrected. He went, he says, breathe. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now I reckon at that point, the Holy Spirit is when they got resurrected. Holy Spirit's in them. And so in the book of Acts, you'll see it. We're going to go through it. That people repented, people got baptized. People were followers of Jesus. They were even baptized in water, but yet they had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you can be born again, know Jesus, go to heaven, but not have this powerful encounter experience of being immersed. The word baptism means to immerse. If I had a glass of water and a bucket of water, the glass would be baptized if I dipped it into the water. That's called baptism. But if it's got a little bit of water in it, it's born again. Like he's got the Holy Spirit in him. So we're not saying that unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. We're not saying that. And we're not saying if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to heaven, because the Holy Spirit's in you. For you to get regenerated, God used the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to get you born again, regenerated. Your dead spirit was dead, and he made us alive with Christ. So that's salvation. But in the book of Acts, you see clearly, Jesus was talking about the promise of he was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thought about this a little bit deeper after I was praying and I was just walking. I thought, Lord, everything has dunamis. Dunamis is power, but everything works with energy of some sort. Even plants have to have the light of the sun, kinetic energy, to germinate with water and the soil to create energy for that plant, or else it dies. We live on food, don't we? Food creates energy for our bodies. God converts the food. We get the minerals and vitamins. If you don't eat food, you're dead. If we don't eat food for 7 weeks, you're going to die. 6 weeks is 40 days. And water. Because God uses those because it's got energy. And your body converts it into energy. And that's what gives you actual energy to survive. And I think of the electricity world. Batteries, electricity. Your house. If your electricity shuts off, so many of your... appliances, electricity, light, warmth, TVs, all the things, toasters, all the things you operate, just not working, because it has to have an energy source. Even for an appliance, it's a non-organic object, but it is created with purpose when it has power through it. Same with cars. You gotta put petrol, the consumption of fire, and the pistons get moving, but and then it brings move. That's gotta have energy, or else the car's not gonna work. And so you can know petrol. Talking about batteries. No one likes a mobile phone. All the power and the potential it can do, but if it's flat, it can't do a thing. If the battery's flat, What I'm trying to get across here, a lot of us know the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. It happened back then. I don't know how many years ago for some of us. But unless you're getting refilled, unless you're humbling yourself and hungry and thirsty and say, God, yes, I got filled back then, but I need to be filled every day. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want us to think, because you're just talking about head knowledge. You're just talking about, I know the truth of that, but I've run out of petrol. Who's run out of petrol before? It's not a nice feeling. Worst time I've ever run out of petrol was in the back streets of India in the village, from moving one village at 1 o'clock in the morning. We finished the crusade. We finished eating. We're so tired. We're on a motorbike. The back of the pastor's driving me. And we're flying. From one of it, it's pitch black. And he runs out of petrol. And I'm tired. All I can think of is, I want to get to my bed. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And then here we are pushing now. It's not a good picture, but a lot of us Christians look like that spiritually. What's happening to you? It's run out of petrol, and I've got no Holy Spirit. It's getting before God. But what God sees is up on the, with the petrol, the energy, the power, the dunamis, and that's grace. That's just, He's doing it. It's easy when you have the Holy Spirit. It's important that we don't just hear a message like this and go, oh, great, Leo, I know that, but how full, I was trying to say both at the same time. How full are you? How filled are you? Do we stay full? Do not be drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. I know I desperately need it. I know there are times where I minister out of emptiness and at times where I minister out of fullness, and fullness is better. Isn't it? I heard someone say, I was poor and I've been rich, and rich is better. Guys, preach the gospel to the poor. What's the good news to a poor man? You don't have to be poor anymore. Because God will supply all your needs. When you follow Him and walk with Him. Amen. So, let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Jesus is resurrected. Luke is writing the story. And he wrote the book of Luke. Now he's writing the book of Acts. And remember, the book of Acts is from chapter 1 to chapter 28. It's a good 60, 70 years or more. From the beginning of the outpouring, it was 40 days after Jesus, or 50 days after Jesus' death. And so Pentecost means 50. It was the feast of the first fruits. So in God's mind, now the first fruits of my son's Passover, because he died on Passover day on purpose, on the right calendar day of the Hebrew calendar. What happened in the past, the Passover was a beautiful symbolic, the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and no one would die if you did in obedience. But these, and Jesus was the Passover. Now 50 days later, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they were told to wait until they'd be endued with power. That's what I was talking about, the whole power. Everything has in our physical world has to be energized somehow. Even organic life. True? Animals need food for energy. Everything's designed that way. Think about your spirit needs dunamis. And I believe your spirit gets dunamis from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Both. You need the rhema of God. God speaking to your spirit feeds your spirit. And the Spirit of God. God is a genius, because obviously He's full of wisdom. Hey, like, so when you look at it, when you start to see it through God's eyes, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father had promised. Remember, He's referring to the Holy Spirit as the Father had promised, which He said, you heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Right? So when they had come together, they asked Him the question, when is the kingdom going to be restored? They're thinking about the physical Roman Empire. When are you going to set us free from the Roman rule? And Jesus responded, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has. Don't worry, I don't know what that word means either. But in this translation, you have to look it up to check it. The times and the seasons, I think it is. Which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will be receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and even in the remotest parts of the earth. And remember, these are the apostles and disciples, right? And they already are born again. They're following Jesus. They're disciples of Jesus. If they were to die at that point, they'd go to heaven. They've repented. They got baptized in water already. They're followers of Jesus. And Jesus says, wait until you be endued with power from on high. So they wait in the upper room for how long? 10 days. They were living there, praying continually. That's a long time, especially when you don't know when the Holy Spirit will come. They weren't sure when. They didn't even know how. They didn't know what was going to happen, really. Just that the power would come, the Holy Spirit would come. They're praying for 10 days, waiting. And they're in unity, and they're worshiping, and they're spending time with God. And let's read it in Acts chapter 2 really quickly. We already know in chapter 1, I think verse 14, if I remember right, that it was 120 disciples there. So we know there's 120 people here, okay? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing on every one of them. Tongues as of fire, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all, everybody say all. It's important to see all. The Bible could have said most of them were filled, but because the Holy Spirit's given only to a certain few, only some have got the Holy Spirit. Could have been written that way. True? But it's not written that way. It says all received the Holy Spirit. Actually, every time you see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's always all received the Holy Spirit. And out of all the cases, there's only one where it doesn't mention they spoke in tongues. It doesn't say they didn't speak in tongues, but all of them spoke in tongues and prophesied. And it says all. Not some and just a few, and like I don't know how we can be deceived, but that's right, when we get taught the wrong things. So if you've been taught the wrong things, I was taught the wrong things when I first got born again. I was taught the opposite. I was taught that unless you speak tongues, you're saved. That's the Bible doesn't teach that. So I had to go to the Bible and go, hang on, what does the Bible teach? The Bible doesn't teach that. I can't find it anywhere in the Bible. Following? So if you were taught that tongues was only for the apostles, you can't find that in the Bible either. So I'm encouraging you, trust the Word of God. And if you can find it in the Word and over, and it's a number of two or three witnesses, you know, more than one case, two or three witnesses, then let that be your truth. Okay. Some people teach, which we'll go into, as John mentioned a few weeks ago, that when he that is perfect shall come, then tongues shall cease, and that which is in part, we don't need it anymore. And they try to make that word perfect be the canon of Scripture. Like now that the Word of God's come together, 200, 300 years after Jesus' death anyway, remember, when they put the Scriptures together, the canon, that we call the Bible, they're saying because we got that, we don't need the gifts. That Scripture does not say that. We'll go through it in a moment, but the one who is perfect is talking about the one who's complete, that's Jesus. And it actually says this, you've got to read the context. Now we see these gifts we see in part, but then we'll see face to face. When's that? Not when the Scriptures are here. What's the canons here? Do we see face to face? No. In heaven we'll see face to face, and we'll know even as we are known. That's definitely after this life. It's definitely gone to in the realm of where Jesus is. Amen? Heaven. Anyways, let's look at quickly. Are you following? I'm trying to help us have the right way of even understanding the Bible. So when you read the Bible, you'll see it for yourself. But you've got to unlearn things, because when you've been taught something, you usually go back, and even though you read it, for some reason, your lenses are closed, and you think, oh no, but that must be for the apostles. Oh, that was for the early church. They needed it, we don't. And that's how you'll conclude. But there are too many scriptures that tell us otherwise. Have a look at Acts 2, verse 33. Well, I'll read it a bit earlier because I think it's important. That's the Bible. It's so good, isn't it? That you have to. Let's read. This is Peter standing up when 120 of them all spoke in tongues. And by the way, they spoke different languages. 14 different languages. They're all speaking languages they did not know, because there were thousands at the feast. And when they heard 120 people in the upper room speaking in tongues, that's a loud sound. They all came together to check out what was happening. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning, by the way, because they got accused of being drunk. And someone stood up and said, look, it's only 9 in the morning. How can these people be drunk, as you suppose? So they must have been acting a little bit more than just this. You never think that person's drunk. I think they were filled with joy, personally. I think they spoke in tongues, and they were full of probably just beyond themselves. This is the very first time the Holy Spirit was given. And I believe, according to the Scriptures, when God gave the Holy Spirit, He gave the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you don't have to convince God to give the Holy Spirit again. Does it make sense? We don't even have to ask, Lord, would you give me the Holy Spirit? No, He gave the Holy Spirit. That's how you got to see it according to Scripture. You're not convincing God to give something He's already given. When you understand why Jesus had to die on the cross, then you realize, okay, well, the Holy Spirit has been given. Thank God. I'll show you a Scripture quickly just in case you don't believe me. Do you believe me? Do you believe the Bible? Hopefully you believe the Bible and not me. Because if I say something that's not in the Bible, you should be able to say, hang on, that's not in the Bible. It's clearly not in the Bible. Then I'll stand corrected. Because if it's not in the Bible, true. John 7, verse 37. I love this one. I love all these ones. 7, verse 37, really quickly. At the last feast, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement to say to a Jewish crowd that understands Old Testament and doing these feasts according to the Old Testament. And he says, anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. He's declaring he's the Messiah. He's declaring he's the Savior. He's the Son of God. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Right? If anyone is thirsty, first thing is you got to be thirsty. That's hunger, thirst, humility. We'll talk about that later. But you got to want it. You got to be hungry for it. You got to know you need it. That's what I was trying to show you. You need power. If you don't have power, everything dies. Your phone dies. Your TV dies. It's frustrating when the internet disconnects and you're trying to watch a clean movie. Isn't it? Because you need power. You need power for everything. And so it says, he who believes in me, as the Scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. What a powerful Scripture. Not just trickles. Not just a stream. Rivers of living water. That's pretty powerful, right? And look at this. This is what people miss. But this, he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him, so you have to believe in him to receive, those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Very, very clear, isn't it? The Spirit was not yet given at that point because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had to die on the cross, be buried, be resurrected, go to the right hand of the Father, and he sends the promise of the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit has been given. Amen? And so you see here that they all spoke in tongues. And in Acts, where were we? Chapter 2. All right. Acts 2. This is Peter standing up. Thousands, not 3,000. 3,000 responded. Thousands were listening. So he told the whole crowd this. True? Right? Look what it says. This Jesus, he stood up and said, this Jesus God raised up, to which we are all witnesses. In other words, we sat with him, we ate with him, we saw him be resurrected from the dead. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. So how do you see and hear the Holy Spirit? Is my question. They were witnessing something, weren't they? They heard a noise abroad and thousands came because they all got filled with the Holy Ghost and they were speaking in tongues. So he's saying what you see and hear, he's referring to the actual overflow of a language. And look what happens here. For it was not David who was ascended into heaven. He talks about the right hand of the Father. Pick it up from verse 30. They said they were pricked in the hearts. They said, men and brethren, what should we do? And Peter said, repent. First thing you need to do is repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus, that's water, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. This gift, again, it's a gift. It's not something you work for. It's not something you have to be good enough for. Everything comes by faith. The gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness, the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? For the promise of what? Of the Holy Spirit is for you. Who's he talking to? Thousands and thousands of people. We know 3,000 repented. And he just said, every single one of you, the promise is for all of you. Yeah. True? And look at this, it goes on. And for those who are far off, that means everyone that's far, far away. And as, no, sorry, I missed it, didn't I? For the promise is for you and your children, the next generation. Not just the thousands of people that are here, the next generation. Promises for them as well. Because, you know, we teach that they needed it for the witness in the early days, but now we don't need it because we have the Word of God. That's wrong teaching. According to the Bible, it's for you and for your children, as many, and for all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself, which he's still calling to himself 2024. True? I'm just trying to teach it black and white. It's clear. It's in your word. You can go study it. You can look at it. You can even go, okay, it's not Leo's opinion of the word. It's actually in the Bible. I'm not trying to twist it, take it out of context. It's in the Bible. Wait until you hear the power and the many purposes behind speaking in other language, speaking in tongues. So powerful. You know, there's neurosurgeons right now that have studied this. They put tests, people that speak in tongues, they put them into tests. When you communicate, I'm communicating right now. If my brain was under a proper, you know, scan and they had all the things attached to my brain, what would light up, would my front lobal part of my communication would light up. But when you pray in tongues, this is what intrigues people. If I was praying in tongues, my front lobal, this part doesn't light up because I'm not communicating with my brain. I am communicating, but not communicating with my brain. But guess what lights up in your brain? The receptive part. And that's on the two sides, apparently. Receptive is receiving. So you're in the mode of hearing God, but not speaking from your brain. But your brain will hear God speak to you. And Isaiah 28 says, with stammering lips and other tongues, will God speak to these people? So when you pray, the Bible says, my mind's unfruitful, but my spirit prays to God. He who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but speaks to God. So my spirit's speaking to God, not my brain. That's why it didn't light up. But my brain receives. Isn't that good? That's why it's important to pray in the spirit, because your spirit is building up and your receptors are going, ooh, listening. Holy Spirit, bang. Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit and your spirit speaks to your mind. And you get built up. You get filled. You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude says, Jude chapter 1, Jude verse 20. Building up yourselves upon this most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When the Bible says praying in the Spirit, it's usually this what we're talking about. It can also include when I pray from my spirit and I might pray in English, I'm still speaking in the Spirit. But it's usually encompassed about speaking in tongues. But I can speak in English. I'll sing in the Spirit and I'll sing in the understanding. I'll speak in the Spirit and I'll speak in the understanding. It's in the Bible. I'm not saying it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So I'll summarize this quickly. Cornelius, Gentiles. He's an Italian soldier. 100 soldiers underneath him. Very loved man, devout man. He would give money to the synagogues, and he gave money to the poor and alms a lot. An angel shows up, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's praying at his normal time. Angel shows up and says, you need to go to such and such place, place called Straight Street or something, and find a man, Sam the Tanner lives there. Peter will be there. It's a long distance. He sends 3 people, servants, sends them to go. Angel didn't tell him about the gospel. They had to go and get Peter to come. But the Bible says Cornelius got his whole relatives, uncles, aunties, brothers, sisters, children. The Bible says many people were there. When the Bible says many people were there, he would have had a big house. It would have been packed with people. This instance, because the first time Peter went into a Gentile home, he's not allowed to go into a home that's not a Jewish home, but he went in because he had a vision as well. God spoke to Peter, and Peter knew this was from God. Peter goes, and as Peter speaks, the Bible says they all got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says they all spoke in tongues. Why didn't just a few get it? Just a few. This is a pattern in the Bible. It's clearly saying this is for everyone. They all spoke in tongues. God didn't give it to a few, and only if you're gifted, if you've got this special gift to speak in tongues. It's not for everyone. Look, sometimes people think, I've tried and I prayed to receive the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues for years and I hadn't received it. It must be a gift that God wants to give me. It's not true according to the Bible. You're now bringing God down to your experience, and you're lowering your theology of God down to your experience rather than trusting God's word and keep believing for it. Sometimes it's just wrong mindset, wrong teaching that you've been taught. And it happened the same in Ephesus. Many years later, Ephesus is a powerful city. God did great revival there with Paul, but he found 12 men that were only disciples of John the Baptizer. He goes, the first thing, Paul, the master builder, the apostle, master builder. He said that about himself in the scripture. He's a great master builder. First thing he says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They repented, they believed, they're disciples. But they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And they go, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Well, then what were you baptized under? They said, we're baptized under John Baptist. Paul says, no wonder. Paul goes, well, John, it brings us into repentance, but you need to be, but so that Jesus would come, you know. And then he said, he rebaptized them in Jesus' name, in water, and prayed for them that they would receive the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke in tongues. All 12. And again, maybe God should have given it to 10 and leave it 2 out, because maybe some aren't gifted for it, or it's not for, no, it's for everyone. So you find this pattern everywhere. Even in 1 Corinthians 14, for Paul to say, if you all gather together and you all speak in tongues, aren't people that come in going to say you're mad? How could he say that if they're not all got it? They all got the gift of tongues. For him to say that means they all got it. And he had to bring the balance, because they did get it. They just would come together and pray in tongues. And it wouldn't be beneficial if unlearned people that don't know the Christ, would come in and all we're doing is praying in tongues. Of course, Paul's going to correct the way you should use it. And he said in that case, he says, I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. And then at the end, he finishes with, forbid not to speak in tongues, but they should prophesy. So he's just correcting the way they went really, really extreme in one way, which is absolutely fine. Fully understand that. And so the Holy Spirit is for everyone. I got a whole thing that I didn't get to about hindrances, but I was touching on it. Hindrances when you believe the wrong things. Hindrances. If you believe the wrong things, it's going to hinder you from receiving the Holy Spirit. If you believe all these lies that I was talking about people taught, you're going to think, oh, well, it's just for them, not for us. Or maybe God doesn't want to give it to me, all those things. When you believe the truth that the Holy Spirit has been poured out, that's going to set you up really good. Jesus went as far as saying, if any of you fathers that are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Remember he said, if your son asked for bread, would you give him a stone? If your son asked for egg, would you give him a scorpion? If your son's hungry, would you give him something that'll harm him? He goes, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, don't you? Come on. How much more, he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Man, I don't know about you, but that breaks my mindset. And I've grown little children, and our kids have kids, and so we got grandchildren, and 3-year-old, one-year-old, 2-year-old, and the thought of not being able to feed them food. When you think about, there are people on the planet that haven't got food to even give their kids. It just breaks me up inside. Imagine the pain to not be able to give food to your own children. Imagine the pain that God the Father can't even give the Holy Spirit to his own children because they believe the wrong things. That's what Jesus is saying. He so willingly wants to give you the Holy Spirit, even ongoingly as a believer. But this is, again, a wrong mindset. There's another wrong mindset. I have to be good enough to get it. I have to be holy enough. I've got to give up this first. Sometimes you'll be trying to receive. Oh, it must be because I'm still... Sure, you should repent. Sure, you should surrender. But it doesn't mean you have to be perfect. We're not talking about working for it. Okay, now that I've cleaned my life up, does that follow? I spoke to a friend who said to me, I was trying to win him to the Lord, he's unsaved, many, many years ago. He said, Lee, I want to give up my drugs, I want to give up this, I want to give up that, then I want to come to church. I don't want to be a hypocrite, go to church. That's what he's trying to say to me. Basically, he's saying to me, in my own strength, by the way, I'm going to give up these drugs, I'm going to give up my alcohol, I'm going to give up this stuff, my lifestyle, my marijuana, and when I give it up in my own strength, then I'll come to God. It sounds like you don't need God if you think you can do it in your own strength. You have to come as you are. That guy got lost at sea. I hope he met the Lord. My very best friend went out and never found him many years later. So having the wrong mindset can really hinder you. If you think, I've got to give up this first. Now you need the Holy Spirit by his grace. So he gives you the power to overcome that. Jesus paid the price for sin. If you think I've got to clean up my life in my own strength, then you're relying on your own strength and not his. Throw yourself at his mercy. And I'm telling you, I know he's here and he's fully witnessing. He will pour out his spirit if you're hungry, thirsty. That's the requirement, hunger and thirst. And obviously, humility goes with that, doesn't it? Yeah. Humility means, yes, I need you. Can't do this life without you. That's pride. I can do this without God. No, I need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So all we need to do is repent. If you haven't repented, and I trust you have already, we've had time with God's presence, and you should do that every day anyway, when you're spending time with the Lord. Amen. So when we stand to our feet, and we need him to fill us. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. So when they called for the apostles and they called for to pray, they would lay hands on them. Jesus was the baptizer though. That was the point of contact to receive. Amen? So I'm gonna just ask us, if you're hungry, again, I believe we all need to be refilled. Always. That's such an important truth to grab a hold of. Don't live empty. Don't run out of petrol. Stay full all the days of our lives.
Thanks for listening to the GGC Life podcast. We hope you feel encouraged. Be blessed.